He's still living.
Yes.
He was director of the Organon at this time, the scientific director.
Yes.
And he knew a lot of medicine. And he suggested me four or five different things which would be interesting if the chemistry could be cleared up and perhaps the thing made by synthesis. Mm-hmm. The one was vitamin B12, and the other was the adrenal cortex, the hormones of the adrenal.
Yes.
And three other things. And I looked the literature through for the next evening, what I could find about these problems. And I told him the next day that I think the only one which is really ready to be worked with chemical methods would be the adrenal hormones, and I would like to work on that if he can procure me the material, because it's you must have extracts of the adrenal glands, and that needs a big organization to get that. So yeah, that's not no problem for them, because they prepare it already.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a contract with him, and it was all going well. And I accepted this because from the literature I had the impression that at least these ones, from the description that you say, these are water soluble things, not soluble in ether and fat and so on, that cannot be steroids, because steroids are always insoluble in water, easily soluble in ether and so on. That was the only thing which was known, and I didn't want to work on steroids, because I knew that we'll get trouble with Ruchitska, because he had a contract with the Tziva, and make him difficult.
Yes.
Now the funny thing is that it just, I started to work, and after a few months I had the first pure things, and immediately I saw there were steroids.
Mm-hmm.
But on a different kind, they were more hydroxylated and therefore partly soluble in water.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't stop it anymore. I told Uchitsuka about that. He knew everything. But the industrial people started to make him trouble that he grows there a man in his institute who's working for the competition,
yes.
And so he more or less gave me the choice, either I leave Zurich or I make another work.
I see.
So I told him I can't change that, I have a contract, so I will have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know where to go, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny that the next morning Dr. Barrell from here, from Basel, turned up in Zurich and asked whether he could speak with me for a quarter of an hour. He was representative of the, what they called here, curatel.
Mm-hmm.
That's the body which is responsible for the university.
Mm-hmm.
They work on Ehrenhalber. They are not paid.
Yeah, yes.
They are only important people.
Volunteers,
yes,
in
they,
a way.
Yes, they make it. Yeah. He
honorary.
It's not a whole day's job.
Yes,
it's only in special cases that they make decisions for the university. So he said he has the he comes in the Auftrag
in Well, in on behalf
on
of
behalf of the university, whether mm-hmm. I will accept a position
mm-hmm.
at the pharmaceutical institute of Basel. He knows that that's not sufficient for my ambition, but he is forced to tell me that. So I told him, no way, it's not too little for me.
Mm-hmm.
I will think about it, and I tell him straight off, I will accept it with pleasure if the institute can be renewed in a way so that you can really work there in it.
Mm-hmm.
So he was quite astonished, and he said, "You will telephone me again." Next morning he telephoned me, and I went to Basel and looked at the institute, and I brought a few technicians with me to tell them what they would have to change in the institute. And after 3 days it was already arranged. I could speak with the Regierungsrat Hauser, mm-hmm. his name at this time, Erziehungsdepartement.
Mm-hmm. Like a senator.
Yes, and he is responsible for that. And
mm-hmm.
He said there will be still a commission to decide, but if he says yes, it will be it. Yes, it is.
So you
I will make everything that the thing will be, which can really start mm-hmm. in October.
Mm-hmm.
And in 15th of September it could already, it was finished. And it was, I think, the cheapest institute they got in Basel, because it was a very old house from the 15th century, where already Paracelsus has worked in.
Oh, how interesting.
It's very interesting, and they had only to renew it inside. For instance, the floor was going this way,
uh-huh.
and they had to renew and several things, but the whole thing was about, I think, 265,000 francs. That's nothing for...
In 1938.
In 1938, about. Yes. That was really... Even at this time, it was very little.
Yes, yes.
And it was a really good institute
uh-huh.
afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
And you headed it. You became the head
yes,
of the
I
institute.
Yes, I became the head of the institute. And I had to teach the pharmacists. It was not so much lecturing.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't mind. I was always interested in pharmacists. Because my uncle was pharmacist. And when I was 5 years, I worked in his pharmacy. I had never other ambitions. I was quite happy there in this institute. It's a really very nice, small institute. And I went over to chemistry only in 1946.
I see, so this was really pharmaceutical,
the pharmaceutical institute.
And then you headed the chemistry,
yes,
organic chemistry?
Over, but that was not quite easy.
Yes?
Because at this time there was very much opposition against the university in the population of Basel.
Why?
They said that needs too much money. We need the money for football places, for bars, open bars places, and for sporting and for Gewerbeschule.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Gewerbeschule is.
I have no idea.
Gewerbeschule,
trade school. a trade school.
School for learning to be
a trade.
Very useful.
Vocational school, we say.
Very useful.
Yes,
and
but
necessary
it's not
thing.
A substitute.
And I told them that it's something else, and mm-hmm. I am also
sure.
quite convinced that you must get a new one.
Yes.
The old Gewerbeschule is really in a bad state. But that doesn't mean that...
You don't need a new university.
And the people who have to decide, it's the Großer Rat.
Mm-hmm.
These are, on the whole, very reasonable people, but they have never studied, and they don't know what chemistry is for. Mm-hmm. They know only that there are some big factories, and they say, yes, they are very rich, they can pay them themselves. So I had to make invitations to groups of these representatives and show them what we are doing and what it is for, and that the institute is not only for the rich people, that also sons of workers are studying today, not very many, but there are quite
mm-hmm.
a number.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really worthwhile to do, but I had 2 years to do nothing else than talk to people and explain them what the university is for and what the chemical institute is for and why they should not why they should give the money which is necessary
mm-hmm.
for the new institute. Yeah. And the new institute was much more expensive. It did cost more than 10 times as much as to rebuild the pharmaceutical
yes.
one, because we couldn't leave the walls. We had to tear everything down and make a new one. And after 2 years, there was Abstimmung, votation.
They voted.
Not a single one was against it.
So you got it through.
I got it through.
Very good.
But it was
good public relations.
It was a very hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And in these 2 years, I had many nervous breakdowns, because I had to look after about 50. Students working on the doctor's degree dissipated in different laboratories all over the town.
Mm-hmm.
There was no institute.
There was no institute.
There was an institute, but it was absolutely unusable.
Well, did you get funds from industry, from all those rich
some,
people
some,
in
some,
industry?
Yes,
you
some.
Did. But not
the main,
not that
the
much.
Main thing at the Basel.
The town had to pay it, the city, yes.
But they got it out, it cost 3.7 million francs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when the thing was finished, many people were invited, and the people from the industry told me that they would never be able to get such a institute for this price, that
yeah,
it was really they would have to pay at least twice as
mm-hmm.
much if they were
yes
they were, because I had very much help from the town, and they had architect didn't
mm-hmm.
cost anything, they had one,
that's
and the all the technical staff was already there, they had only to mobilize it. And they made it, they made it with much interest. It was very well made, and it is still in first class state now.
So you had
nearly 50 years old.
You headed it until when? When did you retire?
67.
67,
yes.
And then you became Professor Emeritus?
Yes, yes.
And you stayed on?
I'm research. Doing now more, nearly only botany.
Yes, I heard that. Well, we get back to that. I would like to ask you some question about your work. So, your first work, of course, was on sugar and including vitamin
C.
Could you tell us a little bit about the vitamin C synthesis? There's so many interesting stories connected.
I think I gave you the story.
Yes, you did, but I would like to have it on tape, if I may.
It was of course my first work, which with an industrial background, because in the ATI I had no other position that I had just the permission to work there. And I think 300 francs as assistant per month.
That's not you much.
No, it's not meant to be much, but it's just a little help. But you cannot live on forever. So, and I was not at this time. I was really not yet persuaded that I will stay in the university forever, because the situations are not very pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there only because Rochitska was there, and I was quite sure that with him I can work
yes.
well. So, I have always followed the literature about vitamins. And there was a formula for vitamin C. Vitamin C was first isolated by St. Gergi. He's
yes.
still living.
Yes, he is.
He's still living.
Yeah.
Yeah. He will be 90. But in America.
Where? Do you know?
Isn't it Princeton? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, well.
I'm not quite sure. I never had correspondence with him, but I met him two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
And he isolated from adrenal glands.
Mm-hmm.
And he called it hexuronic acid. And he gave the correct formula for it. And he found out afterwards that it is really active in preventing scurvy,
yes.
In guinea pigs.
Mm-hmm.
You have to test it. The only
yes.
animal
yes.
which needs it.
Mm-hmm.
Aside of people and apes.
Oh, really?
Yes, the rat and so on, they can make
they
their
can
own.
They can make it, I see.
They also can make their own. That's one of the reasons that the people think that the human beings come from the tropics.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the tropics the food is very rich in vitamin C, much more so than in all over Papua, but that has nothing to do with the synthesis. And in the coffee flavor, I had to do very much with furans.
Yes.
There are quite many furans mm-hmm. present, and I have worked a little on furans, the chemistry mm-hmm. of furans, and made some reactions there. And the first formula which was published on vitamin C contained a furan ring
mm-hmm.
system.
Yes.
So I said, if we work so long on furans, why not try whether we can synthesize this thing? If it's a furane. So there came a young Austrian who unfortunately died early, Oppenauer was his name. He came to ask whether he would can make a thesis with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I said yes, and on what? So I shall suggest something. So I said I'll tell him tomorrow. I will think about it. And I told him whether, among other things, whether he would like to try to make vitamin C, and perhaps if this formula is correct, he can suggest himself some ways how to do it. So he came next morning and suggested about 5 different things. I looked at them and told him, in his case, I would start this one, that's the quickest check.
Which was that?
That was with ozone with cyanic acid.
Mm-hmm. From ozone of what?
Ozone of
xylose?
It would be xylose.
Xylose, yes.
Xylose, ozone. With hydroxyanic acid. Mm-hmm. That would give the 6 carbon atoms necessary. Mm-hmm. So he's. But first we make a model with glucose, mm-hmm. and so on. And so he said yes, and he started. And the thing worked immediately. And we had to start with xylose, because the L-xylose, which would be necessary to get the right thing,
the L, yes,
is not available.
Ascorbic acid
is not available. Mm-hmm. And at this time, one knew already more or less that it should be the L. Was not really published, but I could see from the results that it must be the L.
Was it just a guess or?
It was a guess from a rotation which was given somewhere, mm-hmm. from a degradation product.
I see, yeah.
And
from the natural vitamin C that had been isolated.
No, it was, yes,
from natural vitamin C.
Same cure. Degradation product that was by Hurst, from the English mm-hmm. school with mm-hmm. Haworth. They worked for many years on that, for very many years, mm-hmm. and they work rather slowly, carefully, but
yes.
very slowly. And then the thing came out, and then we had to prepare the alkylose, and that is not quite easy. There are methods described how it can be done. It needed about 4 or 6 weeks, nearly day and night work to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked all 3, that was Oppenauer, Fonoy and myself, to get the xylose, to add the xylose.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, I think, about 2 or 3 grams after 4 or 5 weeks. And with this we made the xylosone, which is a poor yield, and from this we could produce a few milligrams of the correct ascorbic acid. And we published this, and Carver was of course upset. And Mr. Haworth was slightly shocked, but he didn't show it, and he invited me even to give a lecture in Aberdeen.
Yes.
I had afterwards some difficulties with him, but he was not quite an easy man, but he was quite correct. Quite correct.
Well, he was quite a famous sugar chemist.
Yes, he was a great specialist.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a sugar chemist, and I made some formula which he didn't like, but on the whole. And then I knew that the thing can be made, but this method is completely useless on big scale. It cannot be. And I tried to think something else out, and found the approach by azorbose, that's another sugar which mm-hmm. is also known
yes.
in nature. It can is perhaps promising. I couldn't tell it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to get azorbose. That was not available at this time. But it was known that it is possible to get it from sorbitol. Sorbitol is quite easily to produce from glucose by reduction. It was even on the market already, mm-hmm. sorbitol.
Yeah.
But one can make it by the ton without any difficulty.
That's with hydrogen.
With hydrogen.
Reduction,
just,
yes.
Just
regular
reduction.
Yes.
With catalytic
uh-huh.
reduction with mm-hmm. one nickel, I think it's the mm-hmm. best thing. You can do it in any, but that's just the cleanest. Gives mm-hmm. no residues.
Mm-hmm. Good yield.
Give about nearly 100% yield.
Mm-hmm.
It's no difficulty. It doesn't introduce any new asymmetric center. It's only a reduction of an aldehyde group and finished. But then to make sorbose of that, the only good way is a biological process, an oxidative fermentation, and the organism which make this were known but not very well known. It was described as a so-called xylose bacterium. In German it is called Essigmutter.
Oh yes, yes.
You know, it's such a slimy
yes.
Mass. When you,
it's Acetobacter.
Yes,
that's
Acetobacter is the good one, but this old one, this Xylobacterium xylosum, called, it's a slimy mass.
Yes, yes.
Which was used to produce vinegar mm-hmm. from
yes.
wine.
Yes, right. Right.
And that's exactly the same reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You oxidize a hydroxy group to the aldehyde group,
mm-hmm.
or in this case to acid,
mm-hmm.
to acid in vinegar.
In vinegar, yeah.
But and I tried to get it, and the thing which I got from different places, there are such bureaus which cultivate different bacteria
mm-hmm.
for industrial use.
Yes.
They didn't work.
It wasn't good.
They were degenerated or
yes,
something.
Yes.
I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
They were still alive. They did multiply, but they didn't produce any turbos. So I read an article by Mr. Bertrand, that's an old French chemist, who described in 1800 and something how he got it. You take some sugar, add some wine, and a little water to dilute, and let it stand to attract Drosophila.
Yes,
and
the fruit
Drosophila
fly
has always the active bacterium in her its intestine.
Mm-hmm.
It brings the thing, and afterwards it starts, and sorbitol will immediately be transformed into sorbose. So I read this carefully, and I tried it. It made a solution of sorbitol with some yeast extract. I was told by bacteriologists that's always good as food for the bacteria. A little yeast extract and a little wine to attract them,
mm-hmm.
smell.
Mm-hmm.
But it was already October and very cold at nights. I didn't believe that any flies will come at this temperature. And I put 10 beakers with this liquid on the window out of my little cell laboratory.
At the ETH.
ETH, yes. And when I came on Monday, they were all dried out, but in two of the beakers were full of crystals, the bottom. I tested them, they were pure zorbos, and in the one of the beakers you could even see a drosophila was drowned, it was dead, and from its body the crystals came out like...
That's amazing.
Like the middle point of a star.
That's amazing.
And all I had to do is to nucleate
other samples.
Yes.
Other batches of
such
nutrient media,
let the thing grow. But it was, of course, a terrible mixture. There were not only the good bacteria, but very many others. But I didn't mind, because I have seen and knew that the thing is stands very strong acid. So I could put about 2% of acetic acid to it. So reduce growth of everything else, but the thing grew very well in acid. So
its optimum growth was this thing.
So within 2 days we could produce 100 grams of zorbos quite easily. And even afterwards, when I turned this thing over to Roche, they used this bacterium which I gave them. It was the best they could get. They tried very hard to raise better strains. They succeeded, I think, about a year afterwards. But during the first year, they could use this strain. They purified it. For a bacteriologist, it's not so difficult to purify such a strain. And then the rest of the work worked like the program. It did really get in a very good yield. I could get grams of vitamin C, and I brought it to Roche together with a friend of mine. We made a contract with them, and they produce it still today with the same, more or less,
the same
principle.
Methods. And you got the patent on the method,
yes,
didn't you?
We got the
fortunately.
Yes.
So
I could finance the rest of all the laboratory work.
From the royalties. That was wonderful. But you were, in a way, a pioneer in biochemical or... let's say in bioengineering, or
no? It was at this time.
Must have been very.
They didn't like it.
They didn't like it. The chemists didn't like it.
The chemists didn't like any bacteriological process, because they knew it is sensitive to any unknown disturbances from the air or from the.
They couldn't handle that, probably.
But this was quite easy to handle. As far as I know, they had never difficulties with this
I
one.
See.
It's not so difficult like with penicillin and,
yes.
and these things which must be kept completely sterile. This works even with under quite dirty conditions. But they make it sterile.
It's amazing, yes. So they are still using
this.
There's
no other means to get cheap zorbos than by a biological process.
Did you have any contact with Pauling over vitamin C? I mean,
I had only contact with Pauling when he needed some things, some signature, or some. He wanted to start some good work for something.
Oh, his political courses, I see. Your next great field of interest then was hormones, as you already mentioned.
We already talked about that.
But you say that Hoffmann La Roche in Basel sponsored or was interested in your vitamin C work.
Yes, they bought the patent. The patent, yes.
And then on your steroids.
Only to check further possibilities, you know. Very often you can make substituents which are not quite natural.
Analogues.
And the analogues.
Yeah.
They wanted to know whether perhaps some other analogue will even be better than vitamin C. I had to synthesize quite a number of analogues.
Yes.
And homologues.
And did you find any activity?
No. Yes, no. There's some activity,
but not greater activity than with the vitamins.
It's difficult.
I see.
Vitamin is usually the optimum.
Yes.
You sometimes can find some improvement to make it more resistant to degradation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the natural vitamin, most fungi and bacteria know how to destroy the mm-hmm. natural thing.
I see.
If you introduce a metal group or so, they can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case,
there was no
reason.
So
it didn't be better.
So
there were only a few who are also active in mm-hmm. the scurvy guinea pig.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing special. No.
So actually your sugar work then was finished rather quickly. You published about 30 papers on it.
Yes, I published, I worked on the sugars of the cardiac glucosides.
Right, after
these
that.
These are very funny.
That came later, so in between you worked on hormones first.
Yes.
Could we talk a little bit about that?
Yes.
So your main field of investigation were the hormones of the adrenal cortex, the corticotropic hormones. You actually got the Nobel Prize in 1950 with Hensch and Kendall.
Yes.
And
we had always a kind of competition with Kendall.
You did?
Kendall was...
Where did he work then?
He worked at the Mayo Clinic.
Yes.
He worked at the Mayo Clinic. No. Hensch worked in the Mayo Clinic.
Kendall was also at the Mayo Clinic,
Rochester, Minnesota.
Yes. And what?
Well, Kendall was in a similar way obstinate on the adrenal glands, like Staudinger.
Obsessed with.
Like Staudinger.
Yes.
His polymers.
With polymers.
He had the idea that these hormones are good for everything. You can cure every ailment and everything you can make with these hormones. And therefore he was just on one line. So.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his strength, but also his... kind of
his weakness.
And he did quite good work, but we were always a little quicker usually.
I see. Well,
I had not so many. He had very, very much more material available.
More support
and
more money.
And so, but we had perhaps a little more experience how to work with small quantities.
How to use
the reactions which are necessary to with these hormones.
Uh-huh. Well, I read that you had a magic touch when it came to crystallization.
Yes,
and I guess that played a role too.
I like to work at the laboratory, but.
So you isolated.
That came just in the, perhaps in the end with the aldosterone.
Oh, I see.
That was the most difficult one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's the thing which was called by Kendall the amorphous fraction.
Really? You couldn't crystallize it?
That's not a very appropriate name, because there were thousands of amorphous fractions.
Mm-hmm.
Anything which doesn't crystallize is an amorphous fraction. But the one which he meant was the thing which contained the aldosterone.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing for which the adrenal was famous, the adrenal gland, is necessary for life.
Mm-hmm.
That was known, because if you take it out or if it disappears, the people die. Addison's disease.
Yes, yes.
That was lethal before these things were known. Mm-hmm. And it has several reasons, but the main reason is obviously that the regulation of the mineral salts is lost.
Mm-hmm.
So you can keep the adrenalectomized animals even alive with giving him high diet of kitchen salt.
Yes.
But the first, it was known that you can keep them alive by injecting daily with extracts from adrenal glands.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, so it was shown it was really a material matter, hormone, would you say today, that is responsible for the for the life maintaining action of the gland. And then the second point was to get a test for it. And several tests were developed, and at this time when I started and when Kendall made his work, there was a test developed by Wintersteiner and Zwingel was the name, with adrenalectomized dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And they could keep these dogs alive just with adrenal, giving injections daily with adrenal extracts. And you could use these dogs to test the activity of samples, and also of pure compounds. And this test, this animal, this test in the dog, Zwingel's dog test, it's mainly a response for the content of aldosterone. There are three different active principles in the gland. In the first approach, there are more than that.
Mm-hmm.
The one is the hydrocortisone.
Yes.
That's the most complicated compound, or the and this is not very active in this test. In mm-hmm. The, mm-hmm. It is the most important from the medical point of view today because it's responsible for its effect as anti-allergic and in these respects. But to keep the adrenalectomized dog alive, the aldosterone is the most important. Mm-hmm. And it is about 1,000 times more active than the other one. And Kendall was tried to isolate it, but mm-hmm. never succeeded.
But you crystallized it.
It finally because
in 1953
it was the preliminary important work was done by I gave you also the two English people, Simpson and Tate.
Yeah. Yes.
They found out a test mm-hmm. which is very specific mm-hmm. and can be done with extremely small quantities, mm-hmm. and so they could test it in the chromatographs. They could show that this is the compound.
Yes.
They got the place where it moves in the chromatograph. Mm-hmm. There are very, very many compounds. Just this one is the mm-hmm. really active thing. And we worked then afterwards together with Timson and Tate, and we made separation here in Basel mm-hmm. and sent him the fraction mm-hmm. which we thought was the correct one, and mm-hmm. it was the wrong. But we sent him also some crystals, and these were the correct one.
I see. And did you work together with Americans on hormones?
No, not directly.
Not directly. But you had.
I corresponded much with Wintersteiner.
Wintersteiner.
He's an Austrian, but he mm-hmm. worked in Colombia.
I see. But you had a lot of.
He was the first, I think, who isolated more or less pure things. And then I also corresponded with Kendall.
Yes.
And I met him once in America also. But Wintersteiner was a much better chemist, mm-hmm. but he gave it up.
He gave it up? Why? You mean he gave up hormones, but not chemistry?
This work, he said. Yeah. He has even isolated cortisone.
He has isolated cortisone.
He was the first.
But you worked on the constitutional elucidation,
partly. I got it also afterwards. Mm-hmm. But he was the first to isolate, but he gave it up because it was inactive mm-hmm. in the test. He used the dog test.
Oh, yeah?
And cortisone is inactive in
I
the dog
see.
Test, or nearly inactive.
Well, who found then that it's... active in
other tests.
In other tests.
That was by Kendall used what they call the I forgot at the moment in the rats.
Mm-hmm. Well, did he find the activity?
He found some activity, but it is much less active uh-huh. even in his test.
Uh-huh.
But it has some activity, mm-hmm. and Ingels' test.
Uh-huh.
Ingels' test. Ingels was, I think, with Merck, if I correctly mm-hmm. remember.
I think Merck sponsored a lot of this work in America.
Merck prepared the first 5 grams of cortisone.
I see. And then they tested it on humans eventually, I assume.
Because when it was finished, they didn't know what to do with it.
They didn't know that it was an antiarthritic drug?
It was made by... because there were rumors that the Germans use such things to bring for the airplanes You know, they were attacking.
Oh, the test pilots.
The pilots were attacking the troops.
Yes.
By descending.
Yes.
A very dangerous thing.
Yes.
And a very great.